You are listening to The Business Wilderness, the voice of entrepreneurs.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed Al-Houli. And today I have a very special guest with me, Mr. Jeremy Slate. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, my friend. I'm really stoked to be here.
Thank you for joining me, Jeremy. Jeremy, let's go back in time. When you were a young man, who was Jeremy growing up?
The world's biggest nerd, skinny little kid, read history books for fun and built giant things with Legos. I think my parents always thought I was going to be an engineer. Didn't really go that way. But I was the world's biggest nerd growing up, man.
Man, nerds rule the world today. So that is not a bad thing.
Hey, man, I'm still a huge nerd. I just don't talk about it anymore. I did a video yesterday about the 17 different books I own on Alexander the Great. So go figure.
Wow. There you go. Okay. So as you grew up, was there any aspirations as into who you wanted to become?
You know, it's really funny. I just kind of went through school because I guess I figured that's what you do. You know what I mean? I didn't quite know what I wanted to do, so I just followed an education path. I had a newspaper route from the time I was 11 to the time I was 18, and looking back at it, I built that up from about 80 subscribers to 275 by the time I retired. The time I ended up giving up that route. So I guess I always did have some sort of an entrepreneurial spin to it, but I came from a family where both my parents were super blue collar. So I didn't know that owning a business or anything like that could actually be an opportunity for me. So I ended up going to university, getting my master's, studying in Europe for a bit. And I thought I was going to be a teacher because it just seemed like the next natural thing. Hey, you really like being a student, you'll probably like being a teacher.
Well, and now you're the founder of Command Your Brand Media. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so actually what we do, and it's funny because it kind of came a little bit out of my own success. I've had a podcast for the last almost 5 years called Create Your Own Life, where I interview people that are world-class at what they do. And I saw a lot of success early on. So people were like, hey, can you do that for me? So we actually started with a done-for-you podcast model. Like basically we would do absolutely everything. Problem was I was working way too many hours. We weren't able to really make money with that model. But one of the things that people really liked about that was before we launched their show, we actually got them on a bunch of podcasts so people would know about their new show.
Nice.
So we dropped everything and ended up just doing that. And in the last 3 years, we've just continually been trying to do a better job with that of getting people booked on top-rated podcasts as guests.
Love it. And I'm glad you mentioned the whole podcast craze or trend, or you know, because what's happening right now is, I mean, I started this podcast in 2017. There were a few around, but not too many. Actually, 2016. Nowadays, every man and his dog has got a podcast.
That's so true.
How have you seen that transition? I mean, what have you seen that's happened since then that you see differently, and what do you see forward?
You know, it's super interesting because I started the show a few years back too, so early 2015. So it's changed a lot, right? Because I think people all look at like what's happened with shows like Entrepreneur on Fire and things like that, and they think, hey, I'm just going to interview a whole bunch of people, get it out there, and I'm going to make a whole bunch of money off ads when I get traffic. But the thing they don't realize is there's so many more people in that space, you have to differentiate. So if you don't really differentiate, you're not going to last and you're not going to get the traffic. So it's kind of this really interesting space we're in now. So a lot of what's called pod fading happens, where people get to, if they get to 20 episodes, it's a big deal. But you get to a lot of people that get to like 15 episodes and they just quit because they either don't have the consistency or they thought the payoff was going to be a lot sooner. Or they just don't realize that, hey, this isn't something where you build a show and go make ad money. It's a podcast should be something that's supporting your business and supporting everything else you're doing. And if you're not different, it's not going to last.
Absolutely. And I mean, one of the biggest challenges that I faced early was getting the right guests on the show. Because at the time, everybody was interviewing very high-level guests. I mean, you had NPR, How I Built It. You had the other one that I really used to listen to was, I've forgotten his name. But anyway, as soon as I remember, I'll get back to it. But yeah, the biggest thing then was everybody was going after these high-level guests, and everybody wanted their podcasters to stand out because they would have the founders of these big companies first and so on and so on. So it is tough. It's more tough now than it was then. But I'm sure you guys have found ways of getting through all the crowd and making that happen. So how have you guys seen this through in terms of getting through the crowd and these challenges?
Well, it's just like I said, you have to find out what makes you substantially different. There has to be some characteristic that makes what you do so different that people are going to be interested in it. Because, you know, you've probably seen this as much as I have. There's a lot of people that do the rounds in the podcast space now. So a lot of people have the same guests. So one of the things that I've tried to do is for my own show, I've tried to get people that don't do a lot of podcasts and are world-class at what they do. So the interesting thing about that is I'm able to bring in new traffic, I'm able to bring in new stories, and it's also really helped me to build my own credibility as well, because as a podcast host, a lot of times the caliber of the people that you're interviewing are a really big deal to maybe not the download numbers, but your credibility, because you're going to find that higher level guests don't always share, but that's up to you to create the traffic. So in terms of my show, that's how I've looked at it. In terms of who our clients are, the way that we've really helped in representing our clients is we really help them nail down their what we call story, message, and call to action. Like really taking a look at what is your personal story, what are you teaching, and what action do you want people to take? Because if you don't have those three things down and you aren't speaking to the right market, it's not going to work. So to me, it's always, always, always finding that differentiating characteristic, whether it be in the type of people you're interviewing, how you're interviewing them, or even representing yourself as a guest on shows. Like, you have to stand out and be different because there's so many people out there. I think late last year, the number was about 660,000 podcasts out there, and it was up from 550,000 the previous year. So it is a very quickly growing space. And the interesting thing about that is if you look at the number of shows that are out there, how many of them have actually published within the last month? It's not a very high number. So it is those that stick around and that do differentiate that stay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you believe is the way forward? I mean, the podcasting world now is, as you just mentioned, is extremely popular. People are, are jumping on things daily, basically. So moving forward, what does a podcast host or founder have to do to stay on top? Other than making sure that he's different, basically.
Well, I think professionalism is a really big thing, because I think if you look at a lot of podcasters that are doing well, they have a system behind what they're doing. You know, they have a booking system, they have a publishing system, they're using a lot of the same graphic design stuff. Everything's systemized, and it's creating, you know, the real idea that they are a professional what they do, and even the idea of when you book guests, making sure they get the right prep, making sure that you don't reschedule them quite frequently, and you know, making sure that you treat them with a high level of respect. Like, it has a really big deal to what you get. So you have to be professional. You know, having the right equipment is so important. You know, you don't have to go crazy. Like, I think some people are like, oh, I have to have a mixer, and I have to have this, and I have to have that. And you don't need all those things. Like, I've always used a USB mic, but you should have the basics in that make you look like a professional, because that is something that is so important. And it's in a lot of ways, it's strongly lacking in the podcast space. Is not a lot of people are taking it like, hey, you're a professional. Because even if it's something you're doing part-time, you should still do it like you're serious about it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Presentation goes a long way. Like with every episode that we do, we break it into small videos that basically give the guests more exposure to their brand, their name, their company, so on. At the end of the day, you're building a brand within a brand. that's truly what's actually going on here. So if you take the extra mile, I think guests will see that, and it's really gonna take things further for you or differentiate you from other podcasts. And correct me if I'm wrong.
100%, my friend. 100%.
Awesome. So we've spoken about podcasting in general, and you know your journey to your current company. Tell us a bit about what you guys are currently doing as an organization and the way forward.
Well, the biggest thing that we're really focusing on now is, and I feel like it's continually something we're always trying to improve, is when we first started, we were just booking people on shows. Okay, what's your target market? I'll book you on a show. And that was good, but we're always like, well, how can we do it better? So then we started doing a whole coaching process before we book somebody on a show, because we want to make sure, you know, you could show up in front of the right target market, but if you don't have the right story and the right way to tell it, nothing's going to happen for you. So we really started hammering in what we call story, message, and call to action, making sure that they show up in the right way, and that really helps. But then there's another part to it that we discovered early last year, and that's that there's so much you can do with a podcast in terms of content marketing. It's been one of the biggest things that's driven my growth. So we've actually started teaching our clients, well, how can you create more attention with this podcast? Because there's two parts to it. There's when you actually have the appearance and it's out and you're in front of a new audience. But the other part is, how are you going to repurpose this content? You know, it may be LinkedIn is like the best place to be repurposing content right now, because it's just so easy to get attention over there. But email marketing, like marketing to your own list. We had a client that sold a $10,000 coaching package by just marketing a podcast episode to his own list in a certain way. Also, in terms of using it for blog content on your own site, you know, you can transcribe a lot of this stuff and use it for the basis of articles. Yeah. So there's so many different things that you should be doing with it. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah. Because, and I think that's the thing a lot of people don't see. So we're continually trying to figure out, how can we make our clients' appearances better? How can we get them in front of the right audiences? But then how can we teach them how to do something with it? Because that PR, the biggest thing about it that most people don't realize, is it's what you do with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that people are missing is the, as you just mentioned, is repurposing of content. One podcast can be broken up to 50 different pieces of content if done correctly. And I'll just give a couple of tips just off the board, and then I'll come back to you. You got your audio videos, you got your quotes, you got your blog articles, you have your show notes. You can create videos from within the content inside the actual podcast, summarizing the podcast. So there's so much that you can do that people are not currently doing.
No, I would agree with that too, but I think the even bigger thing is, you know, you could be making content partnerships with other sites. Like you could be finding sites that may feature portions of your content. Like if you write for different websites, I know Lewis Howes has done a lot with entrepreneur.com for that, where a lot of his episodes are featured over there. So it may not be Entrepreneur, but there are different sites out there that may want to feature your content. There is also the idea of using it to write blogs on your own site, or maybe guest blogs on the podcaster site that you're working for. You mentioned video and audio, but you can also do things like creating a headliner clip. If you haven't seen those, they're the 30 to 60 second videos that have like a transcription and a still image in the background. Those are really great, very shareable. You can use them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And then also long form content is really good. And it's for me, it's still the thing that continues to crush it day after day on LinkedIn. And that's the content where you're skipping a space in between every time, so it's mobile friendly, and you're starting with a really eye-grabbing headline, and that's how you're going to pull people into that episode. And if you're going to share an image on LinkedIn, great, but if you're going to share a link, you want to hide that link preview, because anytime you use a link on a social platform, it's going to downrank it. So you need to know the rules of your different social platforms to really drive traffic, eyes, and ears to these podcast episodes.
Absolutely. Amazing insights and tips. So my question for you now is, so this podcast has got many startups on there and entrepreneurs and so on. And a lot of the times, like I started this podcast to expand my network and just to meet people, literally. That's all I wanted to do. I'm not after monetizing or nothing. So what I said was, one of the challenges early is that, how do I differentiate myself from just a host to an actual resource and expert in my field? So there's a fine line there. So what's your advice on doing so?
In terms of building your own expertise, you're asking?
No, so how does somebody differentiate themselves from being just the host of a podcast, then, you know, being a host and actually being an expert in that industry?
That's a really good point. So there's a way that I actually teach that, and that's why everybody should have at least two podcast episodes a week, because that first one is where, if you're going to interview somebody, you should do it, and that helps to build your reach and your credibility. But then you should be doing another content piece within your area of expertise. If you don't already have an area of expertise and you start a podcast, you know, I can't really help you. If you have one, let's say you're a finance expert or something like that, that other episode should be something around your area of expertise, because it kind of acts like a funnel. You know, the beginning of the week brings in the new people, and then the end of the week brings them right into your content. So that's what you need to be thinking about, is how can I use what I'm doing to, you know, build your credibility because of who you're speaking with and who you're spending time with, but then also to bring them into your own content. So if you have to have something to say about the area of topic, the area of interest that you're talking about, that's a little bit different. So it should act like a funnel in that way, where, you know, the beginning of the week starts with the experts, and the end of the week leads them to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great strategy. That's actually something that I've tried recently. We started a whole show called The Marketing Wrap, and now we've sort of incorporated it with our guests as well. So, and it's worked a treat, to be quite honest with you. So basically, that's all from me. Anything else that you want to share with our audience before we let you go?
Well, I would say it's the whole idea of don't think the podcast is the end product, right? If you're building a podcast, it's not the end product. You know, it's a vehicle for getting PR. It's a vehicle for creating interest, and it should promote your business. So if you're looking at it and you're like, well, when am I ever going to monetize this thing? And if you're looking at it that way, then you're doing something wrong. You need to take a look at what you're doing and see how it aligns with your business and how it aligns with getting attention for your brand, because you should never be asking that question. So that would be the parting piece of advice I would give your audience.
Absolutely. Jeremy, once again, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness. Before I let you go, where can we find you online?
Absolutely. Well, my personal brand is over at jeremyryanslate.com. And we talked a lot today about podcasting, about getting on podcasts, growing podcasts. Well, I know podcasting has really changed my life, so I want to help your audience to change their life with it. So I actually put together an awesome worksheet for them that's going to help them locate the right audience, locate the right podcast, and get themselves booked on it. And that's over at commandyourbrand.media/checklist.
I'll put that in the show notes. I'll link it all up. Jeremy Ryan Slate, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you having me.
You are listening to the Business Wilderness, the voice of entrepreneurs.